My sisters and brothers, family of God, may the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Listen now to a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to the Lord. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were out of fear, Jesus came and stood in their midst. He said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he said this, he breathed on them, saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit. The sins you forgive are forgiven, and the sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were again inside and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." He said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Bring your hand and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said, "You have come to believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples that are not written here. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through your faith you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Good evening. Is it just me, or does it seem like Easter was like 3 weeks ago? I don't know. I bet you've never been asked this before. How many people in your life have you raised from the dead? Sounds like a funny question, right? How many people have raised you from the dead? How many times have you been deeply forgiven? And your shame or fear or guilt or just embarrassment went away? How many times have you shown compassion or forgiveness or patience or given a few bucks? Or did something that really changed somebody's life? Oh, Father, you're just exaggerating. No, I'm not. What does resurrection really mean, really? If it's just words on a page. And these are some of the most powerful words in all of the New Testament. Really, they are. I practically have it memorized. And you probably do too, right? But if they're just words on a page, well, gosh, I wish that would happen to me. You have the power to raise people from the dead. I don't know, we've raised a bunch of people from the dead. I mean, literally. People come, now I know, I mean, well, Father, you're the priest. My baptism wasn't any different than yours. We used the same kind of water was used. I didn't get the generic form. I didn't get the high premium octane. I got the same kind of water you got. And I got the same Holy Spirit. And it is a call and it is a charism. Thank you, God. I don't know the hundreds of people that have come to that retreat, and I don't even know the years. It's well over 10. I don't know the years anymore. And they come with shame and guilt and fear and anger, resentment and addiction. And they say, well, yeah, that's great, Father, but that ain't me. Okay, all the perfect people, please stand up. Oh, come on. Really, you know? I'm not bragging at all. I'm just an agent. God's the healer. So part of that is an invitation, but it's also, it's a challenge. Because if I ask you all right now, do you believe Jesus rose from the dead? And almost everybody, oh, absolutely, Father, they did. But if I say, if you raised anybody from the dead, oh, come on, get serious. Because it's the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead that you now have in you. It is. And you say, okay, well, those are just little things. They're little things. I can't take the time to tell you. I don't know how many stories. Another one story, very brief, that, you know, it was in Chicken Soup for the Soul, which I haven't read for quite a long time now. And this one girl, a sophomore, I think, was sitting by the back wall, on the back wall of the high school. And the teacher was a Friday afternoon. You couldn't get out of there fast enough. You got to get to the bar and have a beer, you know, Friday. And he said, this kid's sitting there, and he just said, hey, how are you? Oh, no, down in the mouth, you know. He took 5 minutes. He talked with her. And she said, thank you. I was going to go home and commit suicide because I've come to school here all week and nobody has talked to me. He took less than 5 minutes. He got to the bar 5 minutes late. But he spent those few minutes talking to a sophomore girl. And she changed her mind to not commit suicide. Did he raise her from the dead? I think he did. I think she did. Don't make it like some invisible mystery. Because if it's an invisible mystery, it's going to be unreal. It has to be real. Now, I'm really happy to see there's a couple families here with small kids. How many times have you saved your kid's life? You feed them and clothe them and bathe them, I don't know, a couple times a month or something like that. And you love them and you forgive them. If you weren't doing that, you would not have healthy kids. You would not have happy kids. They would be off, you know, they would not be well balanced. You're giving them life by the way you love them. I know, it's the whole thing. This is when I was in seventh grade. I don't know how long ago that was. I say this all the time, and I haven't even gotten to my homily yet. These are just things that are coming to mind. How am I doing? No, really. I mean, really, you know? Charlie Brown says to Lucy, hey, what's the meaning of life? And Lucy says, well, I think we're supposed to be like loving and helping each other to be happy. And a good old Charlie Brown, hey, somebody's not doing their job. Are we doing our job? To make the resurrection real. If love is the answer, I know, I rarely talk about that. All the time. So for my reflection, which will seem a little different. It does seem, and it is true. To have, I suppose, what do I mean, what's the language, really? But to have a resurrection, you got to have a death, and it's got to be a real death. But sometimes these little emotions, hurt feelings. I can't tell you how many people, you know, I've told you the story of the lady. She was, what did she say? She was 80-something. She told us how old she was. I just can't remember. And, you know, she was abandoned by her mother when she was 11. And I said, on a scale of 1 to 10, how angry are you? She goes, 13. She's 80 years old. She's carried that for 75 years. We prayed with her, and within 15 minutes, she walked out of that little room, and she looked like she was 65. Now, there was a real death there, literally a death. Because that mother kicked her out of the car, left her on the side of the road, and the mother drove away. Wouldn't you be about a 13 about that, you know? Just literally abandoned by the side of the road. But after all those years, that woman had the courage. I said, you must be tired. She said, I'm exhausted. I said, no kidding. Carrying that much resentment and bitterness for all that time? Today's Mercy Sunday. I don't know. The Lord just moves me to start this way. Please, in whatever little way or big way, make the resurrection real in your life. If someone is kind to you or they're loving you and they help you gain an insight about yourself or God, or they're forgiving you something that might be 30 or 40 years old, let it happen. That's resurrection, because it'll bring new life, you see. And then if you forgive somebody that you don't like, you don't want to be around, get the thick out of the air. Let that go. That's really what's going on in this reading today. But you see, you have to have a real death. And that's a hard topic. It is. And we have to allow ourselves to experience the losses that we have. Father Ron Rollheiser, years ago, he wrote a book, and he said, you know, really as a culture, we don't mourn, we don't grieve well. We deny or hide or disacknowledge our sadnesses. How can there be new life if you're never letting it go of the dead stuff we all mostly kind of carry around? I know it's not popular, but how do we make the gospel alive? Death can only change loving survivors into new life and meaning and purpose if they're willing to go through the journey of loss and rediscovery. It's their steps, their stages. You know, I know that. That moves a person every person in a different way. It's true. But these little things, daily things, they give people new life as well. Now, again, consider this upper room experience. They're afraid. They're behind locked doors. That's written that way for a reason, because they were. Literally, I can see that absolutely true. And they were not only afraid because Jesus was killed, wretchedly murdered, they're thinking they might be next. And so they're afraid. And now Jesus in their midst, that must have blown their minds. I mean, really, psychologically, what do you think's going on in their heads? In their fear, the power of the faith they had in the lordship of Jesus feels just as dead now as his body. They probably didn't say taken down from the cross because they all ran away. But consider the mood in that room, really. Just take 3 seconds. Consider the mood in that room before Jesus appears. And then he does appear. And they're shocked. Into some kind of rejoiced confusion. It would be an understatement, really. Peace be with you. He says that like 4 times in maybe 14 verses. Peace be with you. Love, healing, forgiveness. My life be with you. Now that's an encounter of grace premiere. Premium, don't you think? Consider the shock. Because they're so shocked, and Jesus could see the looks on their faces, he shows them the physicality of his hands to give more evidence that it's really him. But notice the movement. And it's a quick movement, you'd think. You think there'd be a little interlude there. But quickly he says, peace be with you again. As the Father has sent me, so am I sending you. And he breathes on them. Powerful words. I've used the, you know, said these every year at this reading, you see. That breath of God is the Holy Spirit, and it creates and it gives life. And it goes right back to the beginning. And God blew into the nostrils of the man, human person, the breath of life, and the human person, human beings, men and women, became a living being, a spiritual being. He breathed on them. Now, in our little culture, oh my God, bad breath. Get over it. This is more than a metaphor. That the life and the breath of God. I read a little piece today, and I've read it before. It's the reading that comes up on Holy Saturday. It was written in the second century. It's kind of a long reading, but the last sentence, two last sentences, I don't think there's an author to that. It's they don't know who the author is, but it's from the second century, and it's used every year. In the last two sentences, Jesus says, always know that I am in you and you are in me. And together we become one person. And we will never be separated. That's been the Christian theology from the beginning. It just deeply struck me again today. I think of Paul's letter to the Galatians. It's chapter 2, verse, 11 maybe. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Jesus, by the Spirit, is living in you. Now, these poor guys in the upper room, they don't know which end is up. I mean, you know, what would you think? But he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. The sins you forgive, everybody in here, they're going to be forgiven. And the sins you bind and hold, they're going to be bound. Who's going to be bound? You. Maybe the other person, or they probably don't even know who you are anymore. They forgot about that 48 years ago. You're the one that's bound up. You see how healing that is? Because they're afraid, they're guilty, they're embarrassed, they're confused, they're traumatized. The new life of the resurrection can only happen in and with and through the Holy Spirit. And that, again, you can consider that. And that's true not only spiritually, it's true emotionally, psychologically, morally, physically, intellectually. Your whole person, every aspect of the human temperament and personality can only be transformed if we allow ourselves to be touched and moved by love. Well, I'm mad at you today. You can try to love me all you want and forget the flowers and the candy, my dear. Because if you're not going to let it in, I'll take the candy. If you're not going to let the love in, you're going to be the one that's stuck. Am I right? You are. I mean, it's not rocket science. But we get stuck in our ways, in our emotional ways as well, and we get stuck. So there's two movements going on here. First of all, singularly, they see Jesus and he's alive. And he's proving to them by the physicality of his wounded body, it really is him. And then the second movement is his forgiveness, peace be with you, gives them the Holy Spirit so that their confusion and their healing can, their healing of confusion and fear can begin to take place. Now, this is not instantaneous. It was in the moment. It's like, wow, the guy's alive? You got to be kidding me. But it was real. But you have to understand, it was instantaneous that they received the Holy Spirit. You ever been slain in the Spirit? I know some of you have. That's a movement. A lot of people fall on the floor. But the reality is, they still had to work and grow through that psychological and emotional movement. They knew he had died. They knew he was beaten up and scourged. And they needed to remember that so that they could feel and know that this one had died. We loved him and they killed him, but now he's alive. That's why it was so real to them. They went out within, I don't know how many years, within 10 or more years, half a dozen of the apostles were murdered themselves on a cross or beheaded, or with St. Andrew was flayed, etc. Not nice. But they believed. No, we don't have that. He's not appearing nowadays to most of us. Although I just read a story today. I won't tell you another story. Wait, what do you have in the oven? Anybody have to get home right away? Really? Now, just to add to the intrigue, why add this story of Thomas? because there's a little bit of Thomas in every one of us. He wasn't there. And there's a lot of people that are have to see to believe kind of people. I'm just not going to believe until you give me some proof in one way or the other. So notice how patient Jesus is. He says, oh, okay, Thomas, I'm here. It's me. No, come on up. You're all right. Come on. No. Put your finger here, please. Put your finger here. Take your hand. No, put it in my side. It's all right. See how patient Jesus is? Thomas needed the experience, and many of us do as well. But then you have to let yourself have the experience. If someone's loving you or you're loving somebody else and you're freeing them from things that are binding them up, let that grace hit you. And Thomas, what could he do? My Lord and my God, what else could he do? The resurrection is real. It's as real as you sitting there. And you have the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is in you, and you're in Jesus. And in your faith and in the gift of God, you and Jesus are one person. That's what the incarnation, dying and rising of Jesus means. That's the fruit of it. We are compelled, in one way, to surrender all the old ways of knowing and thinking and being, because the resurrection of Jesus changes everything. Our sins are forgiven. I know people don't know that. I don't understand that. Because it's been drilled into us that somehow we have to pay God back. We got to suffer. We got to feel sad. We got to do all this stuff. Yeah, we have to repent. We have to admit. We have to be honest. We do. But can we let God love us? Because that's the expression of our faith in the dying and the rising of Jesus. So think about, please, the resurrection of Jesus in you. Are you accepting the new life of the Spirit? Are you a loving person? I ask that quite often. I haven't done it lately. Well, I try to be. If you love this much and you let that much love actually change you just a little bit, boy, imagine what would happen in 6 months if you just let love change you a little bit every day. You'd understand what resurrection means. Die to that old life. Give up fear and guilt and unforgiveness, pains and old things from the past. Make a conscious act of acceptance. Receive the Holy Spirit. He died a real death, and now he is alive, and he lives in you. Praise be God for Jesus Christ.